Our Lord, our God, for God is spirit. You call all of us to worship you in spirit. You taught all of us to pray in spirit. You asked all of us to live a life that is worthy of thy calling in spirit. For the spirit of the Lord is resting upon all of us. Lord, we are healed to receive the understanding of truth, to see the light of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to understand what the Lord is speaking through the scripture, the word of God. The part of the word is identified by the understanding of the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you granted all of us the salvation, which is nothing but the true understanding of our Creator, who He is and who we are. Who I am, Lord, the part of the word. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the parts of the word that we have in our lives, our dear brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, the parts of the word, and we are the part of the word. We thank you, Lord, for putting us together in one house, for keeping us safe, because, oh Lord, you cover us with your wings. You bless us to stand firm on thy foundation of truth. You shield us with your wall of fire. Lord, we bless your holy name for helping us to live together as one family of God. May you bless us, Lord, to walk together, to serve you together, to receive the grace, to obtain the grace from the Lord of Lords, from the King of Kings, to serve him in his holy sanctuary. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day in our lives, because we gathered this day, indeed, a beautiful day. Because we gathered in your name. And we are singing songs unto thee in your name. And for that reason, O Lord, all our lives, so far, it is worth it. And it is beautifully fulfilled for the single reason. Today, we praised you. We worshipped you. And we are about to eat the words of life. And we are drinking into the Spirit, the new covenant, the new wine. May you bless us, Lord, for all our mind to be always drunk of your new covenant, your new wine. The Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the only power that we all need to be a witness unto thee. Grant us, Lord, the power of your resurrection, the power of the Holy Ghost, to remain as a meaningful, a powerful, a wonderful, a humble witness to your glorified name, O Lord. Glorious name. What a mighty name, O Lord. What a wonderful name. Thank you, Lord, that you gave that name to all of us. We are not worthy, Lord. But your name is all we need. May you help us. May you teach us that all our lives are nothing but a single opportunity for us to live a life where people can see Jesus Christ through us. Thank you, Lord, for the place. Thank you, Lord, for the hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the minds. Thank you, Lord, for the ears. Thank you, Lord, for the understanding. Thank you, Lord, for all those heavenly blessings, people who pray for us, who pray for one another. They are the benefits of the Lord in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for we are rich in your heavenly blessings. We are rich in your heavenly kingdom. We are rich in your mercies. We are rich in your grace. May you bless us, Lord, to be a wise virgin. When you come and look at us, be prepared for the marriage. Blessed be your holy name. We give all glory and honor unto thee. Anoint us today as we touch thy words of life, the everlasting fountain. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, dear brethren. Praise the Lord for this day. It's wonderful to see brethren return from travel, brethren return from sickness. We thank the Lord for assembling all of us yet again. He is faithful. Amen. Anything can happen to any of us. The train can topple, the bus can go and hit some lorry. The flight can simply fall from whatever the highest altitude it is flying comfortably. Our heart can stop any second as we speak. But whatever happens, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is one assurance God has given us. He do not promise us beautiful, happy life that is always filled with gladness, but He promises us that He is with us. Amen. The God of Israel, whom we serve, whom we believe, He never leave His children. He never forsake His children, but He hide His face. That doesn't mean He forsake His children. Amen. So we all have the assurance. The devil can come and whisper some message to your heart. God is angry with you. God has forsaken you. You are not worthy. Your life is done. You should not do this. You should not do that. Do not offer sacrifice unto the Lord. The Father of all lies from the beginning. And not just Him, our very own flesh, which is even more carnal. Everything works against God's children in their confidence in the Lord's name. The main objective of our flesh and this world is to break our confidence in Him. To make us that we should be humble, we should be quiet, we should be always have a humility. And with that subtle deception, our flesh, all the wickedness around us, can make us to lose our confidence in Him. Always remember, God would do anything for His children. Amen? Absolutely anything, because there is nothing else He can show to us after what He did on Calvary. We don't need any other proof. We do not need any other proof. We don't need anyone to come and encourage us. The word of the Lord is our encouragement. So all our edification, our encouragement, our confidence, our assurance is in the word of God. And that word of God has parts of the word. So those parts, encouragement, all our strength, our love, our comfort, the Lord also given to all of us through one another. Amen. Through one another is the way the Lord works. We cannot serve God without serving His children, His family, because He is in them. He is in them. If Moses and Aaron, after they met, when the Lord is the repairer of the breach, correct? He repaired the breach, He restored the connectivity, then He brought Aaron and Moses together. They hugged each other. Aaron kissed Moses. Beautiful. The Lord united the brothers. So if those two brothers tell the Lord, "Thank you, Lord. You touched us. You spoke to us. Now we see you. We follow you. Wherever you go, we follow you." Then there is no 40 years of wilderness. God did all of this for the people of Israel. Let's be very clear about everything. Old Testament, New Testament, and what He is going to do when He comes. Everything is for His children. The Good Shepherd will never rest until He finds that one missing sheep that is outside the territory, outside the flock. He will be relentless until He go and find His seed, bring it. Until then, no matter how many millions of flock waiting to enter the promised land, singing songs, praising Him, no matter how ready they are, the Lord would say, "I am not ready." Because that one single part of the word can make Him incomplete. So when we look at the way Jesus Christ healed all the sick in the New Testament, He always focused on whole. W-H-O-L-E. Whole. If you take out the word W, it becomes whole. H-O-L-E. Something is leaking. Something is leaving. A hole to escape. Like the hole in the wall. In the untempered mortar. So when the Lord blessed us to embrace the word, without word, our life will become shallow. Amen. We will look like a very big vessel, but there is no bottom. There is nothing to carry. No matter how hard we go and try to catch, take the water, from the river or from the ocean, that vessel will feel the wet, the water around, but cannot carry. So the part of the word, the fulfillment of God's word, build the foundation, build the bottom that can carry. If not, we can see everything around us, but below our feet, where the gospel of peace is called all of us to walk, there is no roof, there is no floor. So the word of God, the part of the word, we embrace the word of God and we stand on the word. We stand firm. We are rooted as a tree of righteousness. Then the Lord surrounds us, all the wall of fire, wall of lively stones, praise the Lord. But imagine a city. Imagine a city as a vessel. Okay? So the land carries the homes. The land carries the palace of the king. The land also carries the holy temple. The land carries all the people, all the inhabitants in the land. And there is a wall around. You imagine the entire city, let's say, similar to a cup, a vessel. So there is a bottom, carries the water, and there is a wall that shields the vessel, and something covered the water, the seed cannot escape. Amen? It's inside. The water is a prisoner to my bottle. So if the Lord bless all of us to understand the word vessel, 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 and then Jesus Christ called them to bring the 6 empty water pots of stone, do you see that water pot of stone cannot be called as a vessel until the Lord touched that water, transformed into wine, then he covered it. Amen? He sealed it. So now the Lord bless all of us that we have a foundation, we have a wall around us, we have the righteousness of the Lord that is watching over all of us all the time. And the good shepherd, he is walking in the midst of us because he is the head of the church. A church without Christ is not a church. Amen? So, the only person that we need in our church is Jesus Christ and no one else. Because we are in him. If I tell the Lord, Lord, I love you, okay? I serve you, okay? I serve you only. Then, I go against the scripture which is, he is the word of God, but he is the parts of the word in his children. So that is how he lives in the center. The light that shines brighter to lighten the planets is the origin, is the source of light. Even if you look at the moon, it does not have its own light. I mean, it's nothing but a mirror that reflects the sunlight and shows the light to the earth, which is filled with darkness. So now, when John the Baptist say, imagine John the Baptist as a moon. He is like attached to the earth, not part of the sun, very far from sun. If John the Baptist say, I'm not a light, I'm not a light, don't misunderstand me, I'm just a moon, I'm not a light. All the servants of God, they will keep on repeating, we are not a light. There is one true light, we are just reflecting that light in darkness. The prophets of God, they shine light of that true light by how? By speaking the words of life and sowing seeds in the time of darkness, in the time of tribulation, when the day break, as we sang the song just now, when the day break, everything comes to manifestation. All of us, we were in that darkness. Someone showed us light, not their own light, the Lord's light. And that light is critical for the seed to come back to senses. Oh, I see the light. So we come up. How we come up? The Lord allowed us to see a day. Look back your life. There was a day you felt, I belong to him. Forget about everything. Whatever that I believe so far, it's done. I belong to him. I belong to him. Someday, you know, in your life, the manifestation took place. Amen? So, the seed, you who was clothed with darkness, a lack of understanding, the Lord tear down that veil and bring you out of the lack of understanding for you to understand, oh, he is my Savior. What I was doing all these years? What I was doing all these years? Lord, why you didn't save me before? No, some guilt feeling, questions, confusions, why the Lord did not speak to me all these years. That day, my brethren, never forget in your life. Never forget what was that day in your life, no matter how many years before. We must be grateful. We must be grateful for the day the Lord touched you. Because that was the day He took off your clothes and put on His clothes. That was the day He made you to feel naked. You know, repentance is a beautiful representation of being naked in the sight of the Lord. I cannot go to the Lord saying that I heard that you are selling some beautiful clothing, fine linen clothes. I saw my friends, you know, they were wearing in their lives. I feel so cold, so I will just keep my clothing, just put on your clothing on top of it. It's called jacket, not garment. It's a covering. It's not a garment. A garment must touch your body. Amen? If you remove the garment, you are naked. If you put on the garment, you are not naked. So there is nothing in between God's garment and God's creation. Whatever is in between is exactly what you see today. The false doctrines, lack of understanding, divination, hatred, jealousy, pride that destroy the church of God, and they are, you know, they have thousands of branches now. Branches. So now, if I tell the Lord, I want to go and wash myself in the river of Jordan, the Lord would say, remove your clothing, go and wash yourself. Because the body must be fully immersed in the water of life, in spirit. So we go there empty. Amen? We go there empty spiritually, we go there naked. And what is the nakedness, my brethren? To tell the Lord in truth, I do not know. So, brother, what are you speaking? What do you mean by I do not know? I know. I know Him. I know all of these things. Is it? Today we are going to meditate on the response, the powerful, beautiful response given by Joshua and Ezekiel. The Lord asked them a very similar question in two different books, but they answered how the vessel filled with the Spirit would answer. Turn your scripture, book of Zechariah. I want us to meditate on the question and the answer by the vessel. Zechariah chapter 4 and 3, chapter 3 and 4, I will cover from chapter 3. So if you remember in chapter 3, in Zechariah, we read that chapter, the vision of the high priest is presented, the angel of the Lord is standing before Joshua, who is clothed with some filthy garments, and the angel of the Lord gives an instruction to remove those garments and clothe him with a new garment. Amen? And after that, verse 8 says, hear now, remember this, hear now. Just two words, hear now, not tomorrow, not when you want. Don't wait, hear now. The salvation is now. The understanding is now. Amen? When the Lord works in His children, He do not need a buffer time. He don't need to wait. He is called the quickening spirit, our Savior, the last Adam. He do it like a quickening spirit. He creates life. He revives us. He washes thoroughly. So when the Lord says to high priest, hear now, the part of the word is prepared to hear. Amen? To listen. What is listening? Eating what the Lord is saying, digest it and spread the nutrition to the body of Christ. Amen? Hearing means receiving, digesting and feel what the Lord fed you. It's a food. Now hear now, oh, Joshua, the high priest. So the Lord is reminding him with the position, the name that He is going to call him. Oh, Joshua, my servant. Oh, Joshua, the high priest. We have to stop here and think about what happened to Moses. In the wilderness, there was no palace, correct? But Moses was literally like a king to the people of Israel. There was no one above Moses, correct? Only God. God speak to Moses. Moses speak to Aaron. Aaron speak to the people of Israel. Aaron speak to the enemies of God. He is a spokesperson. So God meets Moses on the mountain. And Moses, he rules the people of Israel. Yet he cannot be called as a king. Because the land of Israel, the nation of Israel was not formed. The tribes of Israel are on a journey. They are walking. They have not entered the promised land. The Lord's promise is not fulfilled. So the Lord calls Moses my servant. But actually Moses can come down from the mountain and can kill 3,000, he will go up. He will come and punish the people, will go up. He will come and judge the people of Israel, he'll go up. He was like a king, but not a king. So how the Lord calls his servants, they were like a king to the people, but God is the King of Kings. Amen. So when the Lord called Moses my prophet, my priest, my servant, the word my servant, we have been focusing on this word, clothing of service does not need a title for you. Amen? You are a servant of God. I am a servant of God. That's all. That's the one common position the Lord has given to every single seed, every single children, every single servant of God. Servant of God, clothing of the service is a garment that we all carry in our life. But when the Lord called Joshua, oh Joshua, high priest, the Lord is going to do something through him. Amen? Now look at what happens to Joshua. Thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wandered earth. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. Who is the branch? Who is the branch? Who is the root? I am the root and the offspring of David. And the Lord says, I am the branch. Oh, thank you, Lord. What will happen to the tree? Oh, this tree, when it gets a lot of sufficient nutrition, when there is water, when there is sunlight, this tree will bring forth the fruit. Oh, is that fruit mine? No, I am the fruit. There is only one fruit in our life, the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So, in order for us to bear fruit to Him, we must have the root of Him. We must be part of the branch of Him. And He is also the vine. V-I-N-E. And He is also the vine. W-I-N-E. He is everything. The Lord does not give us a chance to claim our own portion of land in His kingdom. He is the holy portion and we are the dust on this land. He is the vine and we are the branches. But He is the branch. We are the priest, but He is the chief apostle, the high priest. So, what God is doing in this chapter, I am going to focus on the answer given by the vessel. That is our response to our calling of the Lord. We have to be very careful and understand from the answers given by Joshua and Ezekiel. It is so wonderful. It is so wonderful. Let's continue. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua. Upon one stone shall be 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. One day. The Lord do not need 2 days. One day. This is the day. When He completed the sacrifice atonement, Calvary did not span across 2 days. One single day. Done. Now, in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. So we should understand when the Lord says, love thy neighbor as you love thyself, you have to understand what is the meaning of the word neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Not the one who lives next to your door. That is on the earthly generation. But who is the builder and the maker of the city where you will dwell in? The mansion God has built for you. When the Lord moves His children, all of God's children, we are nothing but neighbors to one another in His kingdom, in His mansions, in His holy ground. Amen? So we have neighbors. When I say neighbors, they are not strangers. He is a tabernacle. She is a tabernacle. You are a tabernacle. I am a tabernacle. And this is a tabernacle. The Lord dwells in every one of us. The power of God is in you. So we are nothing but temples gathered together in the name of the temple of God. Amen? Sheep follows the good shepherd. Tabernacles abide in the tabernacle of God. Oneness. Unity of faith. Amen? Unity of spirit. So now, when the Lord said, invite all the neighbors in under this vine, under the fig tree. Why under the fig tree? Why can't it be somewhere else? Why God met Abraham with the two angels under the terebinth tree, a mighty oak tree? Why not somewhere near? Why under? There must be something to cover, something to give you shadow, something to make you feel I am under something. Maybe some roof covers my head. The anointing of the Lord, the hand of the Lord, the grace and mercy of the Lord, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire that covers my head. I am under the shadow of His wings. Amen? A spiritual representation of you cannot simply run around, wander around in the wilderness. When the Lord speaks to you, you go and hide under some shadow. It could be a tree, could be a strong tower, could be anything, absolutely anything. Under the fig tree. Do you remember the parable of fig tree? What Jesus Christ spoke about? We will go there. So now, chapter 4 is where Joshua is allowed to speak. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. Lazarus was sleeping. The Lord told him, enough, come out of the tomb. And the Lazarus, he awoke. You know, he wakened. He awake. And he awakened like a man from his sleep. He was sleeping. The two child who were like dead, Prophet Elisha, they revived the child. Jesus Christ, he entered the house with Peter, James and John, just three, and he revived the child. Jesus Christ entered the Garden of Eden with the same three, Peter, John and James, and he asked them to pray and they were dead. They were sleeping. When the Lord called you to watch and pray, if I sleep, we are no different than those three children who were dead in their house. Elisha revived the child that was sleeping. Elijah revived the child that was sleeping. Jesus revived Lazarus who was sleeping. Jesus revived the child who was sleeping. And Jesus said to the three disciples, do you see how I revived the child? Oh Lord, wonderful. Peter, James, John. They go out and they say, oh, I'm so sorry, my 9 other disciples. I know we are 12, but you know, we three are so special. You know, we are elite in the group. We our paycheck is well beyond your paycheck. So the Lord only called us to some intimate events. So Peter, John and James, they are like, you know, superior. The Lord took them as His inner circle to healing. The Lord took them as inner circle for prayers. That is the Lord's decision. He knows what to do. But if those three, they confirm themselves to feel special, when the Lord called them to the Garden of Gethsemane, watch and pray, specials. Watch and pray. In my Eli group, watch and pray. They slept. Once? No. Twice? No. Three. Three times the Lord said, can't you watch and pray? They couldn't. Sleeping is dying. Amen? Spiritually sleeping is spiritually dying. That's why the book of Romans says, do not walk dead. We can walk being dead. So the revival of that dry bones must come into place by the Lord who breathed life into us. Amen? So now, this angel who waked Joshua from out of his sleep, which means the Lord replaced his understanding with a new understanding, something, a purpose that is put in him, and said unto me, what seest thou? This is where the conversation starts, my brethren. What seest thou? God had a conversation with Moses. God had a conversation with Abraham. There were questions, there were answers. God had a conversation with David. There were questions, there were answers. Do you hear me? We cannot say, Lord, you can read my silence. I will just be silent because scripture says, the Lord knoweth what is in my heart even before I pray. So I don't want to waste time. I will just go and do something good for you. Out of the mouth, the confession is made. We cannot twist the scripture. We speak when we are called to speak. When Joshua told the people of Israel, be silent until I tell you to shout. If people of Israel says, hello, we are parts of the word. We will keep on make noise like brass. We will keep on make noise. Don't tell us to be silent. The Lord told us to speak with boldness, to speak with assurance. We must speak. Joshua told the people of Israel, be silent. We are on the 7th round. When I say shout, we all shout together in oneness, and the walls of Jericho will be destroyed. If the people of Israel needed Joshua to give them a one full book of reason, this is the reason number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 goes on. That's why you have to be silent. Then people of Israel, okay. Now that we have received understanding, we will be silent. No, that is not understanding. That is hypocrisy. When the Lord told Joshua, I changed the garment, I called you high priest, I'm going to ask you a question. Remember, now Joshua is not one man. The entire multitude of Israel is bundled under him. God is speaking to his vessel, his hand, his anointed to protect, to preserve, and to lead the people of Israel. Amen? When God told David, "My son, can you build the house?" It is not between God and David. God tells David, "If you don't build, I will destroy your people." And David said, "Okay, okay, Lord, have mercy." But he couldn't complete. Do you see the pattern? God told David, "Can you build the sanctuary?" God told Moses, "Can you lead the people of Israel to the promised land?" God did not tell Moses, "Can you lead the people of Israel to the promised land together with you?" Because Moses will be left out. David did not complete the temple. It was Solomon. Moses did not enter the promised land. It was Joshua. So, it is not about you. That is exactly what the Lord is speaking to his children. It's not about you. Jacob was the son of Isaac. But Isaac was called the promised land, promised son, not Jacob. Isaac was called the promised son to Abraham in the earthly generation. But Isaac did not see the twelve tribes. It was Jacob. Moses was called the leader of Israel to bring them to the promised land. But it was not Moses, it was Joshua. David is called the prince promised forever, the shepherd of Israel. But it was not him who built the temple. It was Solomon. But it was also the same Solomon who built the high places of Ashtaroth. He opened the door for the people to worship the Lord. He also shut the door for the Lord to bless them. Do you see? Now you read with the same reverence. Look at the next verse. The Lord is asking, "What seest thou?" Imagine, I come and tell Brother Rolly is sleeping. "Brother Rolly, get up. Good morning." "Yes, Brother Prasi." "What seest thou?" "I see your face. What are you asking?" "You just wake me up." "What do you mean, what seest thou?" What is this question? The angel of the Lord wake Joshua from sleep. He wake up spiritually. Forget about physical sleep. Now, the question is, what seest thou? What do you see? Look at the answer. "And I said, I have looked. And behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and the seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof." Look at this. Verse 2, the Lord asked a question, the angel of the Lord asked a question. Joshua took some time to see everything that he can see, not in a random, approximate manner, as precise as it can be. He looked and behold, a gold lamp, seven. He looked at the specifics. Look at the specifics of how the vessel of God behaves. Before he answered, he meditated. He observed. He perceived before even he opened the mouth. He did not answer. He didn't tell the Lord, "Lord, wait, give me some time." No, he didn't speak. He has not spoken yet. Do you hear me? Slow to speak. Amen? He has not spoken yet. He observes, he understands, he seeks understanding. And verse 4, "So I answered." The word "so" is an easily forgotten warning in our life. Therefore, so Joshua answered because he saw it. Because the Lord asked him, "What do you see?" Amen? Now, look at the answer. He did not interpret. My brethren, he did not interpret. The Lord asked him, "What do you see?" He did not ask him, "What do you understand?" Do you hear me? My brethren, he is the advocate. If we are in the cage, if he question us, we are doomed. The way he question us, we can't answer. We will say, "Lord, I agree. I yield. I am a sinner. You can put me to death." That is the answer. But if at all the Lord needs to save us, there must be a submission. There must be an acceptance to tell the Lord, "Lord, I fall short of the glory of thine. Forgive me. Have mercy upon me." That's all. But now you look at the way that Joshua answered. He says, "I answered and spake." He did not think in his heart. Spake. Speak the words of life. If you have a testimony, you ought to speak. Amen? If you want to sing from the bottom of your heart, you ought to sing. If you want to speak the goodness of God to your loved ones, you ought to speak. He answered by speaking. He spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Hallelujah. Do you understand what's happening? Imagine the Lord's apostle standing here. He asked me, "Oh, my son, what do you see in the church?" I see there are 37 chairs, 20 male, 15 female, few children. My sister is sitting here. Everything is here, okay. 12 lamps, okay. I didn't tell this answer to the apostle. Joshua did not say what he saw. Rather, he asked a question, "What are these, Lord?" Why? He could not understand what he saw. Do you understand? When we open the scripture, understanding comes from him. Understanding comes from him, not from our perception. What happens in your life is also a perception. Understanding comes from him. Because you are the living scripture. Amen? You are a walking Bible. So now, Joshua saw all of it. You look at this. Verse 2 and 3 was so specific. It feels like, "Oh, Joshua, you are prepared for the interview, man. I'm sure you will get this job." And he tells the Lord, "What are these, my Lord? Joshua, come on. What is this? You said candlestick for all gold, bowl upon the top of it, 7 lamps thereon, 7 pipes, 7 lamps upon the top thereof, 2 olive trees upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. You are already prepared, man. Just tell the Lord what he saw." No. He said, "What are these, my Lord?" He knows the question. What do you see is what not the Lord see. Samuel thought the first son of Jesse is the king. The Lord says, no. Surprise. Call the last one. Ananias thought Saul is an evil man. Lord said, no. Not what you see is what I see. So, Joshua, high priest, knows the question. The Lord is asking him, "What do you see in your spiritual understanding?" Joshua asked the Lord, "Lord, what are these, my Lord? What are these, my Lord? What is happening in my life, Lord? What is this dream, Lord? What is this happening in my life, Lord?" A question to the Creator, to the understanding, to the Lord who can only speak to us when we are ready to listen to Him. Amen? Now, the question is beautiful. The Lord asks, look at the conversation. On one side, the angel says, "What do you see?" And Joshua says, he sees everything, he catches everything, and he says, "What are these, my Lord?" Is it the answer? How can you answer to the Lord with a question? It is a beautiful answer. That's a beautiful answer what Joshua can give. Because he is clothed with the garment that was put on his body by the Lord himself. Amen? That garment shows that this vessel is ready to receive understanding and to speak with understanding. Now, his understanding is, he knows for sure, until the Lord speaks the words, he cannot presume. Amen? Until the Lord explains to him, he cannot presume. This is exactly what John the Baptist saw. In the book of Revelation, John the Baptist saw the same vision. 7 golden candlesticks. But now you see, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel of the Lord talked with me, answered. You see, God asked a question to his high priest. The angel of the Lord is asking a question. And vessel asking a question back. I'm resonating your love back. You answered me. But in humbleness. Now scripture says the angel of the Lord talked with him, did not question him. It says answered him. What do you say? "Lord, answer my prayers, Lord." That is how he answers. Before you say, "Lord, answer my prayers," be prepared. Are you in the right clothing or sackcloth? You can't go to the Lord with the king clothing when you go for prayer. You go with him empty. Amen? Because he wants to see how you came to my holy presence. "Lord, answer my prayers." Now, angel of the Lord answered him. What did he say? "Knowest thou not what these be?" The question is not over yet. The Lord asked a simple question. What do you see? Amen? Joshua try to ask the Lord to give them an answer. "Lord, what are these, my Lord?" And the Lord did not answer him. The Lord did not answer him. So what is his answer? Another question mark. Come on, Lord. How can you call a question answer? Look at the scripture. It says he answered him. What is the answer? "Don't you know what you see?" Correct? That's what he's asking. "Knowest thou not what these be?" What is the answer Joshua gave? Now, Joshua is prepared to give the answer. Because the Lord is like a checkmate. Joshua, you can't escape. Accept that you don't know. Then I will tell you. So Joshua, who the high priest put on the new garments, the high priest whom the Lord used to lead the people of Israel to promised land, and we all know what Joshua represents, and we all know what Joseph represents. Do not forget Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Jesus. Amen? We know what they are doing. David in the middle. So now, Joshua is telling, no, my Lord, I don't know. Now, forget about all the other sentences in this verse. Let's think about three questions. Lord is asking, what do you see? Joshua says, what are these, my Lord? The Lord is telling, you don't know what are these? He says, no, my Lord. Good. Good answer. Now you are ready to listen to me. The Lord told Ezekiel, oh, my son, go to the plain. For what? You are speaking with me right now. Let's have a conversation here. Go to the plain. Walk. Take time. Move your flesh. Take steps, one step at a time. Go and meet me in the plain. Abraham, how are you? Good, Lord. I'm going to give you a son. Thank you, Lord. I gave you the son. Thank you, Lord. Kill him now. Lord, kill him now. Can I do it now, here? No. Go to the mountain. Why? If the Lord gives you a candle, he will give you the light. Then tell you, walk through this contrary winds, 2 kilometers, and I will see you. I will take my car. I will go. I will take a shortcut. I don't want to walk with you. I'll go and wait for you in the house. When I open the door, you should come to the house with a candle. The light should be there. The light should not be put off. Okay? Challenge for you. Lord, look at the storms. Look at the contrary winds. How it's possible? All things are possible. Just walk. So Joshua, Moses, Abraham, David, they all had to be tossed and fro. Amen? All had to be tossed and fro. Until the filthy garments are torn and removed. Until the lack of understanding is completely taken away from them. For the Lord to clothe them with His beautiful understanding. The crown of glory cannot be placed on your head if there is no fine linen clothing on your body. Amen? So now, Joshua says, Lord, I know, I don't know. If I replace the answer, the Lord says, my high priest, what do you see? Joshua says, I don't know, is a wrong answer. Why? You didn't ask the Lord yet. When the Lord tells you, my child, do this for me, Lord, I'm not worthy. Wrong answer. You didn't speak to the Lord yet. Do not go before the Lord's move. Do not premeditate. Do not presume. The Lord is mysterious. He is full of surprises. So, actually, when the Lord told Joshua, what do you see? He sees everything. And he said to the Lord, what are these, my Lord? Why? The child has the right to ask the father what I'm seeing. Joshua exercised his faith. Exercised his right. As a child. So father says, I'm not telling you. Don't you know what you see? Then the child tells the right answer. I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? When the Lord deals with you in your life by sending storms, by punishing you, by encouraging you, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Observe your surroundings. Why is happening to me? What caused this to happen to me? Wait upon the Lord. Do not premeditate. Do not judge yourself. Do not cast judgment on your own life. Because you can do it. But the problem is, when the Lord stands as a judge in you, He can choose to be life or to death. But when I stand my own judge, you know what? I am called the judge of death. Because I can't take life. I can only judge myself to death. I have the power. Because I'm walking dead. So this judge, it's like no matter how many times he bangs the table with his whatever it is, he can say, I rule my life to death. Whoever the advocate, whatever the nonsense we can say in our life justification, the final verdict of us being our very own judge is death. So let the judge take over. So what do you see, Lord? I see so many things happen in my life, but you know what? What are these, my Lord? And the Lord says, my son, don't you understand what I'm doing? Lord, I'm sorry. I'm very weak. I'm weak. Thou art strong, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I don't know. Okay, just wait. Just wait. So, Joshua tells the Lord, Lord, I don't know. If Joshua thinks, how can I say I don't know? I'm the high priest, what? People are looking up to me. He said, I don't know. If the King of Kings thought the same in the Calvary, you spit on me, you touch my garment, you want to beat me, do you know who I am? If he asks a question, the whole earth will be burnt. Amen? When he gets angry, he's a consuming fire. But he did not get angry. He did not even control his anger. He was dead when he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, let thy will be done. Done. He already shed his blood in the garden. There is no man needed to take the blood of Christ to fall upon the ground. He prayed, cried, and the blood came out as a sweat, fell on the ground. He shed his blood. The spiritual Calvary was done on Calvary. What we saw in Calvary was the flesh fulfillment, because God needs to fulfill everything. So, when the Lord tells Joshua, do you know? Joshua says, I don't know. This is a very important attitude in our life. We should all embrace. Before we answer so many unwanted answers to the Lord, then we say, I think I might have got it right. The Lord says, no, you wasted my time. We can start by saying, I don't know. It's simple, right? It's very simple. Lord, known only to Him. We can sing song. But most of the time, the truth is known only to me. The Lord is in me, known only to me. When the high priest speaks, and when the prophet speaks, we are going to learn from them. Because they are nothing but vessels filled with the Spirit of God, and how a vessel will behave when the Spirit bear witness with the Spirit. Amen? Now you look at the next term. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, look at the answer. This is not a word. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Joshua will be like, hey, Zerubbabel, now you see what's happening here. What is the timeline of Zerubbabel? What is the timeline of Zerubbabel? What is the timeline of High Priest Joshua? You understand, we are not standing on the earthly ground. Amen? The scripture introduces Zechariah. It's a complete prophetical book. And we are standing on the holy ground, in the holy sanctuary. What's happening is, it's a prophetical vision, what the Lord wants to learn from the prophets of God. And the Lord is speaking to Joshua about Zerubbabel. Who laid the foundations of the temple of Jerusalem? Zerubbabel. And who finished the work of the temple of Jerusalem? Zerubbabel. The signet of my ring. Amen? Zerubbabel. Now, the Lord speaks about Zerubbabel to the high priest in the book of Zechariah. So there are three names. Zechariah, the name of the book. High priest Joshua, we know the name. Now Zerubbabel, whom the Lord chosen to lay the foundation when King Cyrus issued a decree to rebuild the temple. Now we have Zerubbabel, who also lived in the same timeline of Prophet Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar. Do not forget them. Amen? The beginning of the Gentile age, when Babylon took over the kingdom. Then Persian kingdom took over the Babylonian kingdom. Amen? There was kingdom change, the vision of Daniel. So now, the Lord talks about Zerubbabel. What he says? Saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The moment when you think about the word Zerubbabel, you should understand the task that was given to him. Because he was the servant of God. What was the task? Lay the foundation, build the temple. God told David, lay the foundation, build the temple. God told Solomon, lay the foundation, build the temple. God told Moses, lay the foundation, build the Ark of the Covenant. God told Aaron, sanctify, consecrate, offer sacrifice unto me. It's all the same. He always maintains this pattern of his priestlyhood. Amen? Now he says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, his hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Amen? Through the whole earth. So now, I want all the vessels of God into a single vessel. That is why I'm keep on using the name Joshua, Zechariah, and Zerubbabel. One vessel, the Spirit of the Lord is resting upon them and speaking to us. Irrespective of whom He is speaking to, whom He is answering, we are learning from the vessel clothed with the garment of service and answering to the master who is questioning the vessel. Whoever it is, Joshua, Zerubbabel, Zechariah, Moses, Abraham, David, you can put all the priests of God in this particular chapter. And think about how the Lord speaks to His vessels and how the vessels answers Him. So, if it is Zechariah, if it is Daniel, if it is Isaiah, if it is whoever it is, the prophets of God, they would answer in the same way. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is leading them. Amen? So now, when the Lord spoke to His prophet, when the Lord spoke to His vessel, He is asking, they are answering. Now you think about this. The Lord asked the vessel, what do you see? Of course I see 40 chairs, 20 brethren, male, 20 brethren, woman, whatever that is. But the answer the Lord gave to that vessel was nowhere near to what He saw. Was completely out of what He saw. He didn't talk about seven sticks. He didn't talk about seven pipes. He didn't talk about anything. He simply talked about Zerubbabel and the foundation. You see, the vessel was wise not to give an answer by what he saw. But the Lord gave him something completely out of the box. Correct? Do you see the answer and do you see what he showed? It's completely not physically related. If Joshua, Zechariah, Daniel, Isaiah, Abraham, Moses, all the servants of God you can think of, you put them in that vessel, including us, whatever the Lord shows, what would say? Lord, I think the seven golden candlesticks is seven messengers. Am I right? Seven churches? Yes, right. Seven means perfection. We would be so excited. But the Lord said, I was about to talk about Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel? What? You show me something and you speak to me something. Oh, yes. You might be thinking you are wounded. You are suffering in sickness. But the Lord says, what a wonderful healing my son is going through. What? Healing? Yeah. You are contented. You always think about me. You pray unto me. You love me. It's a healing, man. It's a healing. It's a healing to the sight of the Lord. Even when you are wounded. The lame who was seated at the gate. And the blind who was waiting near the pool. All his life. Could not jump into the pool. And the angel stood at the water. Do you know? That sick who was healed. He was healed throughout his life. By waiting at the pool. It just the healing took place at the right time. But he was healed. Why? He was relentlessly waiting at that pool. Hoping, believing, someday he may able to jump into the water before someone comes in. But it's not a race. It's not a race between one sick and other sick. It's a race between your life, the words of the word of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord against your flesh, your carnal desire, your cross. Deny yourself. It's not a comparison, right? So, spiritually, the lame was healed all his life. He was above 40. You were healed for 40 years. Why? 40 years, you were walking in the wilderness, led by the pillar of cloud, led by the pillar of fire. But I couldn't walk. That's fine. If not, you would have ran away. You would have escaped to somewhere. You would have become Korah. But the Lord kept you as the servant of God. By wow, you were sick, but you were healed. What we see is not what the Lord wants you to see. You might have failed in your life. You might have lost your job, missed some opportunity, missed something that you truly wanted. But you know what? The Lord would say, yay, my son. Awesome. Go on. You lost it. Say, Lord, yes, it's a victory in my sight. If Moses did not leave the palace, Aaron, if he's leading the people of Israel, Moses would be riding the chariot with his Pharaoh friends, and he would be one among them. And the Red Sea comes back to its original position. He would have been destroyed, being Egyptian. Losing the royal life of Moses was a mighty victory in the sight of the Lord. Because he survived the Red Sea. Not just any man, but being the leader of Israel. Amen? So, my brethren, let's all embrace. You may see so many things. Oh, seven golden sticks, pipes, this and that. But the Lord would come and surprise you completely out of the box. The answer the Lord gave is a beautiful, perfect, accurate answer, if you see it spiritually. Because if there is no temple, what do you talk about? If Zerubbabel did not complete the temple, what do you mean by golden sticks? The Lord says, focus on the temple. Focus on the work of me, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. He is speaking about what he did, both in the earthly generation and for his heavenly kingdom. Amen? Now you look at the next verse. Then answered I, said unto him, what are these two olive trees? Upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof. Verse 11. And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? Good question, right? Good question. Because the Lord answered him, now the vessel is asking another question. The vessel witnessed the clothing of Joshua. The vessel witnesses what the Lord is showing. I want all of us to normalize everything into a vessel. That's why if you split the wives of David, you will be confused. You put them into one single woman, we know the different works of the Lord in the life of David. Amen? So one vessel of God. Now the vessel is witnessing. What happens? Verse 13, and he answered me. Actually not answered. He voiced, he sounded to him, spoke to him a question. What is the question? Knowest thou not what this be? Now the vessel knows. I know what to answer. I don't know, Lord. Correct? Did he answer anything else? No. He answered the same. What he said? And I said, no, my Lord. So what do you mean? The Lord revealed the interpretation. The Lord showed the understanding. But yet the vessel repeats the same answer. No, my Lord. Why? Because he asked a question. Don't you know what you see? Then said he, these are the two anointed ones and that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So what is happening, my brethren? It feels like a teacher is training a student. Amen? A master is teaching a servant. A potter is molding a clay. But the clay is very careful. When the Lord says, do you know? The clay cannot sift. It says, I don't know. Bends. When the Lord says, what do you see? The clay says, what are these? Bends. I don't know. When the Lord gives understanding, the clay receives it. When the Lord throws water of understanding, the clay absorbs the water and receives it. Then ask the Lord for help. If you read the question of that vessel, you will see the vessel is asking, God of Jacob is my help. Can you help me? I want to understand this. And the Lord says, don't you know? Why, my son? And the vessel says, no, my Lord. Remember when Jesus was walking, he saw some sick people. He know what they want. He said, what is that you want? If the sick vessel says, you know what I want. Just get things done. Why should I speak? I'm a very humble servant of you. I don't want to ask, I don't want to be selfish. You know what I want. Just heal me, Lord. The Lord says, what is that you want? Speak. Show me that you are the part of my word. Show me that if I can consider to confess your name when I talk to my father. Remember the scripture? He must confess that we are worthy to enter the promised land. If the Lord maintains silence, we are gone. If he has to confess, we ought to confess. Confess word is not a negative word, amen. It's declaration, proclaiming, amen. So now, in this chapter, I wanted to focus on just three answers. Because I want to bring this to book of Ezekiel. Then we take it to book of Exodus. Zechariah, a prophet, the Lord is revealing things to him. He's writing for all of us to learn today. Beautiful book, a very important prophetical book. Talks about length and width of what the Lord does. Talks about high priest Joshua, a vision. Then talks about Zerubbabel, the temple rebuilding. Talks about so many things. But now that vessel is answering, no, my Lord. When Jesus was inquired by the man who was in church, he asked him, this is my question. And the Lord answered him not. Amen? Because that time, silence was the best answer he could give. Anything else he speak, being the truth of God, it will stop the fulfillment of God's will. So now, Joshua the high priest answered perfectly to receive the answers perfectly. Now turn your scriptures to book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel, last Sunday, we stopped at chapter 36. Amen? Chapter 36. Now, in chapter 36, we stopped at verse 32. Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 32. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God, but be known unto you, be ashamed and be confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. So the Lord is speaking to his house and is telling them, if you choose your own ways, you will be confounded. If you choose your own understanding, you will be confounded. So when the Lord confounded and scattered those who are building the Tower of Babel, it means the Lord led them to be scattered in their own ways. He don't have to go and mastermind. If he take off his hand, we are done. If at all we have to live through his grace, he must hold us firm. Amen? So, absence of the presence of the Lord is darkness, the true darkness. Absence of the presence of the Lord is the death. So, we are here to embrace the presence of the Lord. Not just the light of him, not just the beauty of him, not just the blessings of him, but even the sufferings of him. The fellowship of his sufferings. Amen? May look like darkness, but what do you care? His presence are his beautiful blessings. In Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples fled because for them it's very gloomy. No encouragement, no mighty miracles going on here and there. No, you know, miracle of loaves or fishes, no reviving child. You know, they were so not excited. They said, oh, it's boring. He's praying alone. No earthquake, no storm, not up to our level. Let's go and sleep. He's not in the earthquake. Amen? He's not in the storm. Here. So now, in the book of Ezekiel, the Lord speaks about house of Israel. Amen? There is only one house of Israel, not houses of Israel. One house, because there is only one king. Amen? Now look at the next verse. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities. In that day. And Zechariah says, in one day I will heal the iniquity of the land. Amen? Chapter 3, we just read now. Do not forget. Now, book of Ezekiel says, in that day, on that day, I shall have cleansed. Look at the grammar. I think I love it. See, I shall have cleansed. The word cleanse is past tense. But he says, I shall have. I will do it in my time. It is future tense. But for the Lord, it is done. I have seen your life through. I have overcome all. But for us, we are bound to grace, Lord. Hope of eternal glory. Hope of eternal glory. We become unfaithful. He says, I shall have cleansed. It is well with your soul. I will see you through. It is well with your life. I shall have redeemed you. Amen? Your redemption is over in his word. And we are going through fulfillment. So now the Lord says, I shall have cleansed. Now, look what happened. I will also cause you to dwell in the cities. In that city. As is in the song. And the waste shall be builded. Why the Lord needs to build the waste? The wall of Jericho was a beautiful, mighty tower, but the Lord said it's a waste, just destroy it into pieces. But the Lord says, I will build the wastes. For what? Look at the next verse. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the garden of Eden. What? Desolate land becomes Garden of Eden. You are traveling all the way back in time to teach us. Yes, he is the same yesterday, today and forever. The Garden of Eden was shielded, secure. No one can enter. He put a gate. No one can touch. Now the Lord says, it will become like a Garden of Eden and the waste and desolate and the ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Praise the Lord. No inhabitation if there is no fence. When the Lord separates the weeds and tares, he says, I won't throw the wheat. I will take it, gather it, bundle it, and put it in my barn. Amen? I will store it. I will store it. When I squeeze the wine from the grapes, the wild grape, I will store it in the new bottle. Seal it. Fence it. Then the inhabitants inside, they will be fruitful. multiply. So the Lord called all of us to be fruitful and multiply. Fenced, inhabited. So what is inhabitation, my brethren? If we are the God inhabitants, do you know what does it mean? That is Zechariah chapter 2 verse 5. I will dwell in the midst of them, and I shall be around them like a wall of fire, fence around them, and my children will be their inhabitants. How? The true life, the true tree of life is in the midst of the Garden of Eden. If there is no tree of life, that is not Garden of Eden. That is death. So, if the tree of righteousness is not in the midst, in the highest seat, in the preeminence where he is supposed to be, then the church of Christ is not the church of Christ. Amen? So, fenced, the Lord can shield his surroundings, his children, his flock. But he must be in the center. If not, there are no inhabitants in this land. We are walking dead. To the sight of the Lord, inhabitants means God's children who walk with the light. Children of light. Now look at the next few verses. Then the heathen that are left round about you. You see? Where they are now? Not inside. Fenced, territory, and the heathen, they are round about you. Outside. Lord and his family inside the house. Angels inside the house. They shut the door in. And there were people round about. Heathen, round about. But they could not enter. The Lord tells Lot, pray for this particular man. I will forgive him and I will bring him to the house. Until then, that one is outside. For you and me, we are filled with compassion, grace and mercy. Amen? But inside the house, there is a judge. You see the difference now? The way the Lord is speaking to Joshua, high priest, in Zechariah 3. And the way the Lord is speaking to book of Ezekiel chapter 36. You look at the verse now. About you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it and I will do it. Why? He led them to see what he is doing. If not, he want to save them. He want to bring his children back to the place. The Lord says, I don't want to take pleasure in the death of the wicked. Do not perish. Repent and live. Amen? So now you look at the next three verses. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them, and I will increase them with men like a flock. Praise the Lord. If that fence and territory is frozen, why the Lord says, I will increase them? I will increase them with what? With men like a flock. Not any flock. The last verse. As the holy flock, blessed be the name of the Lord. There are so many flock in this world. There are so many faith in this world. There are so many so-called truth in this world. There are so many so-called doctrines in the world. A lot of false prophets in the world. But the Lord says, I will increase my flock like men. And not any flock. As the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem. Are we the flock of Jerusalem? The new city, holy Jerusalem. Not the earthly city, Jerusalem. New city, holy Jerusalem. It's called holy Jerusalem. Then the flock of Jerusalem must be holy. The Lord says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen? The book of Jude says, be filled with holy faith. Stephen, man filled with holy faith. Because we can say, my brother, stop it. There is only one faith. Come on. There is only one truth. Come on. There is only one life. Come on. We can be so smart about it. But look what's happening in the world. There are people who die for their faith. Extreme faith. They are willing. They don't care. That is also a faith. A deadly faith. A poisonous faith. A faith of deception and lies. But the holy faith brings forth lives. Holy faith brings forth life. Now, as the holy flock, you stay in the holy chamber. That's what the Lord says. The title of the sermon the two Sundays ago was holy chamber. Then last Sunday was separation. Today the Lord says, in book of Ezekiel 34, last verse says, the flock of my pasture are men. Amen? Now the Lord says, I will increase you with men, with flock of my men. And he says, as the holy flock of the flock of Jerusalem. Now he says, in her solemn feast. Now he compared Jerusalem in her solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with the flocks of men. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Now you remember. the four beasts bow to the ground and say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. All earth is filled with your glory." By what? By you. The holy flock of the Lord, the tabernacle of the Lord, is a place where the Shekinah glory of the Lord can descend. God showed in the Old Testament. Moses had to build a huge tabernacle with so many restrictions around for the Lord's glory to descend in the midst of them. Because people are not faithful. But the Lord has given us the power of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. We can be that living tabernacle. When the Lord descends into you, you are filled with light. You are filled with life. Don't you? Have you ever wondered? When Apostle Peter said, "You killed the Prince of Life and you asked for the murder to be given." He was speaking. They were listening. So angry, so painful. Then he said, "Repent and be baptized." Everybody got baptized. What? You were just scolding them, rebuking them. He just spoke the word, "Repent and be baptized." And they got baptized. So, millions of people can say, "Repent and be baptized." But only the one who filled with the Spirit of God, when he says the same word, that word comes to life. No matter how prepared we are, if the Spirit is not speaking through us, that word is a sounding brass. Not life. Stephen was talking about Abraham, Joseph, Moses. Imagine all the Jews listening to him. Look at this guy. He's talking about our history. Yeah. Yes, go on. Go on, my brother. Stephen was still in history. No, Moses did this. Aaron did this. They were listening. Yeah. They feel so good. Wow. This guy is giving us free marketing. Dude, go on. Then suddenly he said, "You are all wrong. And Jesus Christ, the Savior, is seated at the right hand of the Father. I see him in the cloud." Then they got so angry. Everything was going on fine, man. What happened to you? Why you took a U-turn? They killed him. Peter did the same, but Peter killed them in their flesh and he baptized them. So, it is not what the vessel wanted, it is what the potter, the master wanted. Amen? But the vessel should say, "I don't know, Lord. Stephen, what do you see? A stones are coming to my face. What do you think is going to happen? Oh, mighty deliverer is he, the Lord who is mighty in battle. I am his child. He is my wall. You are going to shield me. Surprise! I will let you to be killed." What Stephen would say? "You know, my Lord. Knowest thou, my Lord? I don't know nothing, Lord. I know nothing, Lord. But I know one thing. You are with me. Whatever happens, you are with me. Are you sure?" "Yes, Lord." That should be your answer. Whenever your life threatens you, you tell, "I don't care. God is with me." Fine. Do not think God delivers me, God heals me, God makes me happy, God gives this to this. Those are all your extra ornaments. Just tell, "God is with me." That is your clothing of service. God is with you. Even in your death, He is with you. Even in the tomb, Lazarus was not alone. He was sleeping. The Lord said, "What are you sleeping for so long, lazy fellow? Come out." He just came out. We cannot be killed. Tell yourself, we can sleep in rest. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, assurance and confidence, never ever give up on that. It is a beautiful clothing. When that wife of Potiphar caught Joseph by the garment, if Joseph decided, "This woman needs a preaching from me. Let me think about some verses." If he spent few minutes there, she would have deceived him. Correct? Because the beauty of the flesh dancing in front of him. What he did, he dropped his garment, he ran for his life. Because that garment is defiled. He cannot be clothed with a defiled garment. He left it, everything at once, ran away. The Lord said, "Matthew, my disciples, what are you doing?" "Oh, we are casting some nets, busy." "Come and follow me." They left everything at once and they followed him. Amen? Joseph left his garment and followed him. Disciples, they left everything that they do and follow him. Not tomorrow, today, now, here, now. Amen? So now, look what the Lord reveals to the prophet. Chapter 37 until verse 20, brother. Chapter 37.
"The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Thus said the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter unto you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus say the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came unto them.
Amen.
And they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus said the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, cause you to come up from your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Verse 15. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, as for you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it, for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick, write on it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Then join them one to another for yourselves into one stick, and they will become one in your hand. And when the children of your people speak to you, saying, will you not show us what you mean by this? Say to them, thus say the Lord God, surely I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companion, and I will join them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will become one in my hand. And the sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes.
Amen. Verse 8. And when I beheld, lo, sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. What? In the valley, there was a vision of the dry bones, but the Lord told the vessel, prophesy. The vessel did not ask the Lord, can you explain to me what it is? The Lord said, prophesy. But here, I want us to focus on the specific focus. Imagine the Lord is the archer, and the words are the arrows, and he has a bow, and you use the bow to release the arrows. Amen? Now, you look at the way you release the arrow. Because there is a very specific distinction of the words prophesy unto. So, I'm going to write the word prophesy unto. Because he was very specific on focusing things. Skin covered them above, but no breath. So, there was flesh upon the bone. Bones joined together, then skin covered them up above, but there was no breath. They were not alive, they were dead. But before that, what was the focus? Start from verse 30, chapter 36. Look at the beginning of this prophesying events. Chapter 36, verse 1 says, son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel. I'll write one by one. Prophesy unto, first thing, mountains. So today, Brother Ingfan was talking about mountains. But do you see those mountains were there from the beginning, since the Lord created it? They are like witnesses to whatever happened in all this time. Like a living witness. We can say as a dead stone. Are you sure? Then we are a dead stone. The Lord called all of us to be lively stones. The Lord called Moses to go and strike the rock, a lively rock, for the life to come out. And now, there are two sticks mentioned in 37. Two became one, correct? Two sticks joined together, one. But before that, there is a sequence of prophecy by the Lord's vessel. Prophesy unto mountains of Israel. Praise the Lord. Now, go down to verse 6. Prophesy, therefore, concerning the land of Israel. Okay. What will you see in the land? Tell me. Just the land. You will see mountains, hills, rivers, valleys. So I write again. I wrote mountains already. Then we see hills. We all know the difference between mountains and hills. It's not that simple for us to ignore. Okay. Then we have rivers. Then we have valleys. You know, this word, people hate the word valley. So negative, so darkness. You know, valley can store water, not mountain. We are trained in valley, not on the mountain. Whenever the Lord takes you to mountain, for only one reason. He wants you to shine the light to some darkest areas. Then again, He'll bring you down to the valley. Because in the valley, you are safe. In the valley, you are contented. You endure the fellowship of His sufferings. In the valley, not on the mountain. Too much mountain is good for nothing. May the Lord bless us to embrace valley as part of His promise. You see, prophesy unto mountains, hills, rivers, valleys. Why not people? Because we are nothing but unfaithful, unlawful, sinful children who disobeyed the Lord and profane His name. That is who we are. Can this creation of God can profane His name? Never. You understand why the Lord allowed the people of God to shed blood of those animals in the wilderness? Let's compare the blood of a sinful man with a simple goat or ram. Which one is purer? Tell me, which one is purer? Of course, the God creation. Because it know not any cunningness of sin. No hatred, no jealousy, no offense, no one understanding. It knows nothing. It knows how to eat, how to sleep, how to multiply, and how to die. A lion which hunts a deer will still look beautiful than a brother and sister fighting. It's so ugly, so evil to the sight of the Lord. We may say, did I kill him? It is even worse. Because that lion was created to hunt and eat. It's his prey. It's not evil. It's just the matter of survival, God's creation. But here, it could have been avoided. It could have been. No, it should have been avoided. So now you see, mountains, hills, rivers concern the land of Israel. But, what do you say? Israel, Jerusalem, we are the citizens of this holy land of Israel. The Lord says, I'm not prophesying unto the land. I'm prophesying unto my creation in that land, so that they can bear witness of me. What to prophesy? You see, look at the spiritual understanding. He says, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because ye have borne the shame of the heathen. That is concerning to the land of Israel. But he's telling the vessel to prophesy unto mountains, hills, rivers and valleys. Valleys. Now we move to chapter 37. Look at 37. When the vessel saw the dry bones, where the dry bones were located. Tell me. Open valley. Correct? Am I wrong? In the open valley. Clement, can you read the verse again? That particular verse. Open valley. You see dry bones.
The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry.
They were very dry. Okay, so there is an open valley, a lot of dry bones. Now, look at the word spoken by the Lord. Verse 4. Prophesy upon these bones. Amen? Now, I am adding one more here. Bones. Okay? Prophesy upon these bones. That is verse 4. But still, that prophecy, that word of fulfillment, what it does, it brought flesh, it put the bones together, bone one on his bone, and the skin covered them above. So, this one fulfilled this one. Good. We thank the Lord. But was it over? They were not alive. That was a state after the prophecy, which is verse 8. No breath in them. Amen. Look at the next one. That covering was not sufficient. Do you hear me? The covering of the skin, of the dry bone, was not sufficient because there was no breath in them. Verse 9, that he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Wow. Now we are going to the next one. Wind. Don't you see we are all covered by the wind as we breathe air, as we live our life by what is around us, but we don't even show any respect or any gratefulness to God. I breathe in, I breathe out, but I don't pay for it. I didn't earn it. I can be a well-educated person. I can have a lot of money in my bank account. But still, I cannot sign a contract with the environment to give me air for the rest of my life. I can't. The wind tells me, you don't own me. You live because of me. And you don't own me. You are subject to my presence. Amen? Don't you see what the Lord is doing in our lives? I can be a dry bone in the past. I can be a man with clothes by skin because the Lord separated me when he spoke to the bones. The Lazarus can be out of the tomb. But that's not over. Then Lazarus needs to live the next few more years of his life to be worthy of his calling. Then die. Because he will die. He's not going to live forever. Now, prophesy unto bones was not sufficient because no breath. Now you understand the word. The words of the Lord refined like a silver, purified 7 times. What you would say, Lord, I heard you are a great archer. You hit the bullseye in one shot. What are you doing? Why are you keep on doing this over and over again? Then you go and sing the Lord, I keep falling in love with him over and over. And then you come back, Lord, come on, sort out this in one shot. I keep falling in love with him over and over again. What? So we will do everything over and over if it is a very sweet food. But if it is bitter, we can say one tablet, that's all. You know, my children, if the tonic is very sour, only one cap. No, not two, not three. Can't take it. Once, that's it. Potter, he will squeeze you over and over again. He will take the unwanted flesh from you over and over again. He will prune you, purge you, clean you, wash you. But wait, wait. When you finish the work, you will see, wow, what a beautiful creation I am in his sight. Until then, look at the verse. Prophesy unto the wind. What happened after that? Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds. What? Prophesy unto the wind. And it becomes, there comes wind from four sides. Four winds. Not one. Four winds. It was even separated. Wind from the east. Wind from the north. Wind from the south. Wind from the west. Four different winds. If you are a ship with a sail, the Lord say, I am going to decide. Today you go west. Okay, send the wind. Oh, there is a big problem there. I will send the wind from the east. Today you go east. The wind changed the course of direction. The Spirit of the Lord directs your path. It changed the course of your life. You may see it as a failure, but never admit that. You can fail in the sight of the Lord as an unfaithful man, but your life cannot fail. The Lord is victorious in his children's lives. Amen. We will never fail. Wind came. What it did, my brethren? Oh, breath. Praise the Lord. Oh, breath. Look at the way the Lord says, oh, breath. It's like, hey, brother. Hey, sister. Why there is an additional word before that? Huh? To get the attention. Oh, breath. Verily, verily, I say unto you. The Lord says, oh, Joshua, high priest. Joshua would say, Lord, you added the word, oh, it's not my name. Just call me Joshua. I know. Oh, Joshua, high priest. When Joshua told the people of Israel, shout. People would say, does it make any sense what we should shout? Should we shout, yeah, or should we shout, oh, what do we shout? Just wait, we will shout. Then we sing the song, Lord, I shout your name. And I shout the victory of the Lord. Amen? So, whatever we think to try to put reasoning, the Lord would come and surprise with the name of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, oh, okay, the Lord will reveal. be prepared for surprises from the Lord Almighty. But never doubt His work in your life. Now this means what it does, my brethren. And as I prophesied, as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. Now the question is, what do you mean by they lived? Does that mean they died? Because if you live forever, there should not be past tense, right? They live. They lived and stood up on their feet. So the lame stood up on their feet. Prophet Ezekiel, he know what happened exactly to him. The Spirit entered into me, set me upon my feet. Chapter 4 and 3. That was the beginning of the work of Prophet Ezekiel. Now we are in 37. Prophet knows. He has been experienced before. Now, what happens, says, an exceedingly great army. God told Abraham, I am your exceedingly great reward. And the Lord told the prophet to see, an exceedingly great army. Of how? Every single soldier of Christ, they received the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for that reason, an exceedingly great army. Without the name of the Lord, we are insufficient, weak army. With the name of the Lord, we are exceedingly great army. Now, verse 14, please. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. Now it is, ye shall live. The Lord said, I shall have cleansed you. By how? I will put my spirit in you, ye shall live. Joshua, fill the garments, don't worry. I shall have changed your garments. I will put my garment, you shall live. And you will judge Israel, because he called him high priest. But he is a servant of God. Prophet Zechariah, the vessel of God. What are the Lord shows? John the Baptist, Daniel, John the Apostle. Look at all the vessels of God whom the Lord revealed. There was a conversation. For the Lord will keep on testing them. Are you in the right frame of mind? Are you in the right ground? Are you standing? He was keep on giving a reality check. Like Peter was sleeping in the prison. The angel of the Lord come and smite his head. If Peter woke up, hello, I received the power of Holy Ghost. The Comforter is in me. How dare you? Who told you to smite my head? You know, I'm the apostle. The Lord told me that He will build a church upon me and the rock. Are you kidding me? You want to wrestle with me? Do you know Jacob? I am from Jacob's line. Come, let's go. No. Peter woke up. Oh, sorry, I was sleeping. Let's pray. Recognize the work of the Lord through one another in our lives. Now, spirit, skin, covers, all okay. Holy flock, praise the Lord. But there was a division presented in the last few verses. Two sticks and two sticks become one. Book of Zechariah, we talk about seven golden sticks. Amen? Seven pipes. Now we talk about two. Let's look at this. Why the Lord focused on the names of Joseph and Ephraim. Verse 16. Moreover, thou, son of man, take thee one stick. When I saw that about one stick, the Lord tells Moses, my servant, take your one rod, okay? Strike the rock, okay, once. Okay, easy. Just like that. You know, I stretched my hand over the Red Sea. I was waiting for a long time until the sea was divided. Now, I was on the top of the mountain, raising my hands. Of course, Aaron and her were supporting my hands, but still, you know, I managed to do it. Strike the rock once. It's pretty easy. Simple, right? Simple. Yes, of course. God's instructions are beautiful, pure. It's very clear. He won't confound people. But the frustration, disappointment from the place where he was planted made him to strike the rock twice. Amen? Remember that. Can the people of Israel say, oh, come on, Moses, we should have followed Korah, Dathan, Abiram. They were right. It's a pity that you destroyed them by cursing them, fire devoured 250, land devoured the rest of the rebellious people. They were right all this while. But you know how the Lord would see? My servant is humble, kind, good. He had his own weaknesses. But you know what you people did to him? Tortured him. Provoked him to anger, frustration. Tormented him to the extent that he made a mistake. What people would say? Oh, you are putting the blame on us? Then the Lord would say, okay. Okay, fair deal. So let's don't put the blame on you. Let's put the blame on Moses. I will destroy him. I will rebuild him. I will punish him. I will revive him. I will kill him. I will take him home. Fine, I'm the creator. But what if Moses was not on that time when he stood for you, when he was supposed to consume the entire land of Israel? Correct? Golden calf. Never forget. If there was no Moses, gone. Everyone is gone. No Joshua, no Aaron, no one can protect the people of Israel. Moses stood there, told the Lord, for that word, blot my name out of your book. Do you see the answer? That's exactly what God wanted to hear from him. But he was the one told him, go down, some noise is there. He didn't tell him what is happening. He told him, go down. He just went down. He saw the golden calf. What is this? Aaron, what happened, man? Not me, your children. Joshua, yeah, there is a victory of noise in the camp. Okay, good observation. You spy. This was a very good spy. Then what happened? Moses went up. He told the Lord, you know, I could kill 33,000. That's all I could do. I can't sanctify anymore. I can't consecrate anymore. That's what I can do. I'm sure it is not sufficient. So just kill me. The Lord says, move aside. Just plague them. Didn't destroy them. If those people of Israel did not think about that event, if they had no gratefulness for what happened in the life of Moses, when he struck the rock twice, if they mocked at him, if they told him, see, he made a mistake. Of course he made a mistake. But don't you see, it was a trap for you, trap for me, trap for all of us. Whenever the Lord drops his servants, it's the biggest trap the world can ever see. Because they will hit and they will rebound. But when they hit the ground, they will destroy all. But why? Everybody will be confounded. That's what happened to Jesus on Calvary. That's what happened to Stephen when they were stoned to death. What happened to Matthias? Imagine, let's say we are all Matthias' friends. Every one of us, we are Matthias' family members. And we heard the news. Judas killed himself. Oh, poor guy. Matthias has become the apostle. Hallelujah. Our family, our church, our Lord chosen an apostle from the midst of us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Few months on the road. Hello? Yes, Matthias was killed. What? He was killed? Yeah, he was killed. These 11 evil apostles, he was doing great. A humble, kind man, enjoying his life. They brainwashed him. They deceived him. They took him to a place that he was not called for. And they killed him, Matthias. It would have been better if the Lord was not, that blood was not on you. Oh, Stephen, he was enjoying his life. They called him to become a deacon. What happened? He was serving the Lord. Oh, wonderful, praise the Lord. We are from Stephen's, you know, group. What happened? Stephen was thrown to death. Oh, these apostles, ruthless people, completely cult. You know, what the best thing could happen to Matthias and Stephen? To die for the name of the Lord. That's it. To your eyes, he died. But to the Lord's eyes, come home, let's dance. Rest in me. So now, dry bones, skin, fine, dry bones, flesh, no, dry bones, until the spirit goes in, they did not live. That clothing means nothing. So, now the Lord brings about the two names. He is very specific. He says, Son of man, take thee one stick. Okay, Lord, write upon it. On the stick, yes. For Judah, okay, and for the children of Israel, his companions, okay, then take another stick. Why? Two names are mentioned, Judah and Joseph. Lion of Judah, Tamar, Perez, David, Solomon, all the way to Jesus, praise the Lord. Joseph, Manasseh, Ephraim, praise the Lord. But Joseph married some other woman. We thank the Lord for the sharing on Friday. The Lord always moves us in one spirit because that was supposed to be my topic today as well. Joseph married some other woman and he gave birth to two other children, Ephraim, Manasseh. When Joseph told the father, Father, yes, my son, my father, Jacob, my dear father, God of Jacob is my help. Can you bless my sons? Can you bless them in this order? I know your eyes are blurred, you are very old, but can you bless them in this order? Jacob, oh, you are playing the same game with me. I'm the one to start the game. I'm the first deceiver. Yeah, Jacob, Esau, Rebekah. My mother taught me this game very well. He knows how to shift his hand. Did Jacob and Rebekah, they outplayed Isaac? Oh, was it so simple? Isaac was a stupid man. Prophet of God, servant of God, child of God. Even in their mistakes, the name of the Lord will be glorified. A mistake is a mistake to your eyes, but the Lord's eyes, David, oh God, if you committed a sin, oh, okay. What's her name? Bathsheba. What happened to Uriah? I killed him. What a grave mistake. People of Israel, David's life is over. Went to the brook of Kidron, come back as a king. Solomon built the temple of God. Bathsheba, she was the mother of Solomon. You never know. We never know. Oh, Judah, you gave birth to your daughter-in-law. What a evil news it is. There is no God in your life. The Lord says, I am the Lion of Judah. Lord, don't identify yourself with him. Joseph is good. He's a mighty, mighty child of you. Just link it back to him. The Lord says, Lion of Judah, not Lion of Joseph. The way the Lord identifies, it should speak to our hearts. He don't see the way we see. And he says, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, what happened to Manasseh? It's because of Jacob's promise. It's because of Jacob's promise. Stick of Ephraim. Alpha and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Was there a division? No. It was the way the Lord worked in their lives before he bring them together. David's house, Saul's house. Remember? Divided, then united. Now, say, and join them to one another into one stick. Join them to one another in one stick. Oh, I heard this somewhere. Oh, yeah, verse 7. And I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Bone to his bone. Of course, it looks like a stick, right? If you take one of the bone, it looks like a stick. But it's not just direct comparison. You see the way the Lord works. They become one in thine hand. In thine hand. Not in any other place. Not in any other's name. Thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Will thou not shew us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim. So the stick of Joseph is in the hand of Ephraim, because of the promise of how Jacob blessed them. Now, and the tribes of Israel is fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick. They shall be one in mine hand. Verse 17, thine hand. Verse 19, mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. Beautiful. Now they can see because they live. The Spirit is in them. Now, I want us to meditate on this as we close, because I will continue next week. Ephraim, Manasseh. Jacob, Esau. Esau had a clothing kind of a feel because of his hairy body. Jacob had to deceive by put on a hairy clothing prepared by the mother. Amen? The Father in heaven prepared a clothing to cover Adam and Eve of skins of goats and led them to go out of Garden of Eden. Okay, praise the Lord. What's there for me? Now you see, Joseph wanted for Manasseh to be blessed or Ephraim to be blessed. Joseph had his own preference. But Jacob did what was supposed to be done. Can Joseph say, I am the one who invited you from Goshen to the land of Egypt. Can't you just fulfill what I'm asking for? Jacob say, I am not just your father. I am a son to the Father in heaven. Father in heaven comes first. Amen? As he commanded, he prophesied. As he commanded, he blessed. That is why Ezekiel, Joshua, Daniel, Zechariah, you will see all the vessels. You may say, brother, you are referring to this name. No, wrong. Not wrong. All the names had one single name. The vessel of God. They will behave the same. That is how we conform to the image. Speak the same, think the same, do the same. Everybody will behave the same. Why? Jesus Christ is manifesting in them. Now, Ephraim's name is mentioned in Ezekiel. Now I want you to all meditate this week. When Absalom was killed, amen? When Absalom was killed, they heaped the stones over his body. Then Joab said, there were two, Ahimoaz and Hushai. And he said, I want to bring the tidings to the Lord. I want to go and share the news to the Lord. Was it tidings? Really? The death of his son? Then Joab said, no, today it is not your day to carry the tidings. Hushai, you go and pass the message. Do you remember what happened? So there were two, supposed to be one. Do you hear me? There were two, supposed to be one. Even Job, the servant who killed Absalom, he told the two of them, you carry the message, you don't. Amen? He said that. Now, yet, the other one, he refused. He said, I want to go. So when they started running, who outran Hushai? The other one. Amen? He reached the place first. David was seated between the two gates. The watchman was looking. Who is running so fast? It's like a sprinter. Okay, King David, someone is bringing tidings. Come, let's hear from him. he came and passed a message to the king. But the king could not hear his message because that was not what he wanted to hear. Then he said, step aside. Then Cushai came. He answered, hear me, he answered words is exactly what was supposed to communicate it to the king, allowed by the Lord, whatever the bad news it is. But when David heard, he cried, my son Absalom. He did not cry when the first one came, because he was not supposed to carry that message. Was it a coincidence? Now roll back, or roll forward. When Jesus Christ was put inside the tomb, who is the one who carried the body from the people? Joseph. The name of the one who received the body of Christ was Joseph. He begged Pontius Pilate to get the body. He wrapped him with fine linen clothes and put him in the stone, heaped the stone around him. Good? When Mary Magdalene, she heard this, she ran, not walk, hear me, she ran to Peter and said, this is what happened. And Peter said, what? Let's go. There was another disciple whose name was not mentioned in the book of John. This disciple and Peter, they ran. But who reached first? Peter? No. It was the other disciple who reached the place first. But did he enter the sepulchre? No. He reached the place first. He stood outside. He waited for Peter to enter. Peter went inside. There was no body. And when he came out, the scripture says, the one who stood outside, he saw and believed. Why? Lord, why? Yes. Esau wanted to be blessed, but it was replaced to Jacob. The birthright was given to Jacob. Yes, Manasseh was preferred, or Ephraim was preferred. It's not about the preference. The Lord did things in his way. Yes, there were two people who wanted to carry the message to the king, David. But irrespective of who ran faster, the message was not received from him. But rather the one who carried the message, no matter how walking or slowing, whatever it is, at that appointed time, when he reached, when the Lord blessed him to speak the words, the king accepted the message. The one who ran faster stood outside the tomb. So, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. We may think, I'm a sprinter. The Lord says, I told you to walk. We may think, I can walk for long. The Lord says, I told you to sprint. You never know how he behaves. You never know. May the Lord bless us. When that particular clothing should be clothed on that day, may the Lord bless us to come before him with that clothing. You know, Tamar, the sister of Absalom, who was raped by, I know him, Ammon, the brother. She was put on some beautiful clothing. When the injustice was committed upon her, she changed the clothing into sackcloth. Why? She is telling something happened to her, her flesh, and she can't put on this beautiful clothing. She is broken, so she's put on the sackcloth because she's prepared for prayer. And she found shelter at her brother's place. Amen? The Lord wants us to be mindful of his work in our lives, how he speaks, not relying on the flesh, but his own creation. That's the reason sacrifices were made in the Old Testament by animals, because they know not sin. We are the one who knows sin. May the Lord bless us. The holy flock, the flock of Jerusalem, is not a flock to be slaughtered, but a flock should live as a living sacrifice by killing its flesh every day. By doing so, we will remain with the clothing of the lamb, clothing of the flock. If not, we may be thinking that we are clothing of a flock, but the Lord say, it looks like a wolf, man. Is it? Yes, it looks like a wolf's clothing. May the Lord bless us to remove everything and stand empty in front of him. Amen. We will continue next week. May the Lord guide us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shalom, brethren. Let's all stand and pray. Our Lord, our great God of heaven, thank you, Lord, for what we learned from the valley of dry bones, the lives without the Spirit of the Lord. The valley of dry bones. The journey without the guidance of the Lord. The valley of dry bones. A life without the purpose of the great God of heaven. A valley of dry bones. Lord, we pray. When you speak thy words, For the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. And you prophesied through your servant, through your vessels, unto the mountains, hills, rivers, because they proclaim your glory. So Lord, we pray, may you bless us, Lord, to learn from thy word that covering of thy dry bone, the covering of that flesh is not sufficient. The covering of that skin is not sufficient because there was no breath until you prophesy unto the wind. And when the winds came, when the four winds came from four directions to surround the temple of God, to seal the tabernacle of God, to shield the children of God, to protect the church of God, when we are sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Ghost, until then, O Lord, until you put the Spirit in our life, until the tree of life standing tall and strong in the midst of the Garden of Eden, we are not alive, O Lord. Prophesy unto us, O Father in heaven, for in the days of end, you pour upon thy Holy Spirit on all the flesh. And he said, be silent, O all flesh, for the Lord is coming. Lord, we pray, may you bless us to be silent in this world, and may you bless us to be the true worshippers in thy word, to speak of thee, to confess who we are, to confess the death of Christ on Calvary. Because you told us, be my witness, proclaim my death on Calvary to everyone, why you died. Lord, we pray, help us, Lord, to stay alive with your Spirit. May you bless us to be clothed by the Holy Ghost, not covered by our skin. Because, O Lord, covered by skin is nothing but walking dead. But covered by the Spirit of the Lord is walking alive, alive in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for all things. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen.